comes from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give in him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So maybe you're like me and you've been really busy shopping for Christmas. I know now even my daughter will call me up and say, "Mom, have you gone online? There's some great deals. There's some great deals." So when I have survived Black Friday with her, then I have to survive the internet as well. So we've made it into the early stages of shopping. Now, I wonder if you have thought about gift giving yet this season, and maybe you've thought about the gifts that you'd like to give to others, and you might have also given a little consideration to something you might want to receive. But I'll tell you one thing. The older I get, the more I believe that I enjoy experiences rather than material gifts. What about you? What are the gifts that you'd like to receive from Christmas this year? There are some life-changing gifts to be had. And each Sunday in Advent, we're going to be taking a look at a new one. In the best spirit of Christmas, we give gifts to others. And as you give and as you receive gifts, it's very important to remember that the very best gifts are wrapped in heaven. Our best gift, the best gift that we'll ever receive, is given to us at Christmas in the form of our Savior. As we give gifts to others, the best gift that we can give to them is the good news that the Savior is for them as well. This gift is the gift that keeps on giving year after year after year. One of the gifts that we get from the scripture today is the gift of hope. The angel comes to Mary and says, "Mary, God is with you." And he is saying that to you today. For indeed God is with you. He's with you as you face the trials that you face. He's with you as you take exams, as you struggle in the workplace, as you deal with aging parents, or as you raise beautiful children. He's with you as you try to be kind to that person who's just hurt you badly. He's with you in the good times, in the bad times, in your struggles, always with you. There's a wonderful verse in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 54, where the prophet Isaiah talks about something that the Lord has given him. This is a quote. He says, "The Lord has given me an educated tongue to know how to respond to the weary with a word that will awaken them in the morning." That's a complicated way of saying that, Isaiah has the gift of encouraging others. He has the gift of speaking a word that's going to help them want to rise up. When they're wanting to stay in bed in the morning, hearing that God is with us should make us want to rise up, get out of bed, and go into the day. There's a wonderful, wonderful thing about the name of Jesus. The fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, gives us hope when we need it the most, when we feel forgotten. I never tire of hearing it. This week, I thought everything was going along so smoothly. And I've got all this stuff on my calendar, all these parties, all these things that I need to do, accomplish, and bam, out of nowhere, I start feeling like there's no good news out there. Everything I saw on TV was negative. All these things that I was hearing from people, negative. I just saw people in every direction treating each other ugly. And I thought, there's nothing good out there. There's nothing good out there. I even called my daughter and I said, have you listened to the news? There's nothing good out there. And she just went, And then I realized what was happening to me is what usually happens before I get sick, is that my emotions get dragged down first, and then I figure out, I've got a temperature, I've got a fever, I've got the flu. And sure enough, that was what happened. And I was down emotionally, I was down physically, and I thought, where's the good news? I was lying in bed, and I looked over, and I saw this box sitting on my floor, because I've been kind of trying to make room in my closet for Christmas stuff. And I looked, and it was cards that people had sent to me when I was really sick. And I picked up a card, and I read it. Oh, my gosh, it was so encouraging. And then I looked at another one, and it was so kind and so loving. And I went on and on and on. And in about 10 minutes, I was on a cloud. I was so lifted up and so encouraged that I felt like I could take on the world. Even though I still had 102, I felt amazing because of the encouraging words that were spoken to me. God wants us to hear the words that He is speaking to us today. I am with you. I love you. I came in the form of a child and will celebrate it again this year to show you how important you are to me. You are everything to me, He says to you. This is news of hope. That's why we light the candle of hope today. Because no matter what happens, no matter what happens in the world, God still goes with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. The word was wonderful to Mary when she received it. And the word was wonderful for the world when it came through the voice of an angel. Because God was fulfilling a promise that He had made many, many, many years ago to send a Savior. And God sent Emmanuel, which means God with us. The gift of good news is the knowledge and the assurance that God is with us. It doesn't get any better than that. God is with us. Recently, I heard a story from a man named Bill Loughborough, who taught Sunday school at St. Luke's UMC in Houston, Texas. He says that it was 9:45 in the evening and the front doorbell rang, and when he opened the door, he found 6 to 8 children ranging in the ages from like 6 to 10. They were standing there, and their spokesperson stood up tall and he said, "Hi, we're here cheering up the neighborhood." Then he counted 1, 2, 3. And in unison, they all said, "Cheer, cheer, cheer." Then they disappeared. That's pretty great that little children would be the voices of encouragement. We're called to be the voices of encouragement to those in our community. And I'm so excited because we have good news, words of hope to share with people everywhere. And so, Debbie, folks in the choir, Aaron are going to be leading us, church, to go out and to sing to those who are shut in, those who can't come to church and be here and see these beautiful Christmas decorations, to spread words of hope and cheer. So it's wonderful that we're going to be doing that this year. Hope you'll join in, even if maybe you just come and carry a songbook or spread some cheer. That's what God's calling us to do. There's so many ways that we can do this. Be encouraging. It doesn't have to be a big deal. My mom gave me some little cards. They're bright yellow, and they say, "You're awesome." So everywhere I've been going, if I saw a cashier while I was shopping or went through a fast food window and somebody was like, "Oh, I only have 3 more hours to go," I would hand them a card. And I would watch their frown turn into a big smile. And I would say, "Thank you so much for serving. I appreciate you." And it made a lot of difference in their attitude. That's what we can do. Prayer makes a huge difference. You can pray for somebody. They may never know it. But I love the Duke study that says, in a double-blind study, that even people who don't know they're being prayed for heal faster and get better at a higher rate if they're prayed for. So pray for people as you go out, and that'll make a huge difference in their lives. It's great. It is great to spread words of encouragement and hope. Now, I'm just really, really seeking stories of encouragement as I go out and about. And so I was thinking this week I was going to be looking and seeing everywhere that I could find stories of encouragement, but then boom, I end up flat on my back in bed. And so I'm laying there going, "Oh, Lord, how am I going to finish my sermon here? I'm here and all my resources are at church and, all I'm seeing on the news is bad news." And so I fell asleep kind of in a fever, and all of a sudden I had my cell phone next to me in case I got a call or something. And on there pops up from nowhere, Fox 5 News. And I look at it and I'm like, "Oh, what's that?" Well, this Fox 5 was from a year ago, so I have no idea why it popped up. It just did. And I hear this story. And it took place in Las Vegas 1 year ago, Fox 5 News. And there's this family, a great family. Mother, father, 5 children living in a community. Father's hardworking, like many of you. Just a really solid family. And there's another family in the same community, and there's a single mama and 3 children. No father to be seen. And the families didn't really know each other well, but the 2 daughters kind of hung out together. You know how that happens. And so they did a few things together. And one day, out of the blue, the mama of the family with 5 children and the father got a phone call from the single mom. And she said, I need to go into the hospital for a couple of days for some tests. Just a few. And I was wondering if you might be willing to keep my children while I'm gone and make sure that they get to school safely, because they all go to the same schools as your children." And so this mom didn't hesitate. She said, "Well, sure, I'll do that." And so she did, and the woman went into the hospital for tests, and they diagnosed her with stage 4 cancer. So she came out, and she said they gave her about a year to live. And so she told her neighbors about this and said, would it be okay if while I'm going through this in the year, I make you my children's legal guardian? And apparently she said yes, and the mama started signing up to be foster parents, the mother and the father, foster parents in case they were needed. And unfortunately, the lady passed away in 4 weeks. And so now this family with 5 children had 8 children, all in one house. And the foster people and the DFACS people weren't really happy because there weren't enough walls separating the boys from the girls, and too many were trying to sleep in the same bedroom and all that. And so Fox 5 News heard about it, and they came to the woman and the husband and said, could we build a wall for you in your house? And she and he were thrilled. They were thrilled. Yes, we would love it if you would build this wall so that the kids can be properly put in their own rooms and have everything that they need. And so so they said, okay, well, in the meantime, we're going to give you a special place to go so that your family doesn't have to be here while we paint and saw and all that. So we're putting you up. And they're, oh, great, great. And so they go off. And then the Fox 5 people decide that they're not just going to do one wall. They're going to redo the whole house. And they're going to buy all new furniture, bunk beds, so that they can have more space and everything that they need. And so they start the work, and they are busting it. And the family is invited back, and they see this brand new home with room for everybody. And they even gave the oldest son $1,500 so that he could go ahead and get his own apartment, because he had a job and start on his own now. And this little boy just looked up at these people and he said, oh, this is beautiful. I am so happy. Thank you. And I thought, what encouragement. What encouragement, both for the family who did this beautiful thing to take in these children, and for the children who must have just felt pretty forgotten with their mama gone and not knowing where their dad was. And they were blessed. What an encouraging, encouraging thing to do. And my spirits just soared as I heard about this goodness and this kindness. This is the way that God wants us to be. Looking for ways to encourage one another, to love one another, to lift one another up in all times and in all situations. He's so good to do that for us when we need it. I know, brothers and sisters, that there are times that you need encouragement. And we need to be there for each other, to lift each other and encourage each other in these times. So, one of the things I'm hoping you'll be willing to do today is encourage our student in Zambia, because Mwamba Lunga is graduating in 1 week. Today, he's in his final exams this week and today, finishing his final exams, the written ones. And so next week, God willing, and I believe God is willing, he's going to be graduating from college that you put him through. And he's going to be a teacher. So we've already given him a graduation gift. I told you he invested that in pigs. And he's going to breed the pigs and give them to the churches so that the churches can breed pigs and have some money. So we're going to give him a card. So there's a card out here on the credenza right here. If you would just sign simply your name, no room for all of us to give a message. Just put your name there. And you don't have to be in a straight line. You can go crazy and go sideways. Sign your name. Encourage Mwamba. Let him know that we don't forget about him, even though we're way over here. And it'll be great. And then I started thinking about a conversation that I had last spring. And it was with the representative from the United Methodist Children's Home. And you heard the speaker come. and speak to us about the United Methodist Children's Home and how we've been supporting the United Methodist Children's Home for so many years and all of that. And I was talking to her about the way that we could support them now. It's wonderful what you've given through your giving over all these years. It's awesome. And you continue to do that. But I said, how can we encourage foster families? And how can we encourage the children in our community? Because you're not here. You don't have an office here. You don't, you know, you have a representative. You share a large area. What can we do? She said, Tamlin, have you ever thought about putting together bags for families that have had to leave unexpectedly and have an emergency? Maybe they're folks who've been abused and they just have to leave and they don't really have time to pack a bunch of stuff. What about children who have come into foster care that need to go to foster families and they're looking for that foster family, but they haven't found the family yet and they're kind of in limbo and maybe they don't have anything good to wear or anything that's really nice? What if you put together bags, underwear, socks? I know that's not what you guys want for Christmas. Underwear, socks, pajamas, toothbrush, maybe another stuffed animal. And you gave these bags to the DFACS people so that they could bless the children who are coming in who don't have anything. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, that's good. We're in the middle of all this stuff right now. But I thought, what would that be like if we began to bring those things in the next couple of weeks and put them under the tree? Our tree's empty right now. There's nothing under the tree. What if by the last Sunday in December, the base of that tree was full of gifts for children who are coming out of tough situations and need to be encouraged? What if all of those things were in bags, age-appropriate bags for all these ages, and the DFACS people could just give them that so they'd have nice pajamas to wear and a stuffed animal to hug when they went to bed at night? What would that be like? And so that's what I proposed to you. Next week I'll put a list in the bulletin, but if you're out shopping and you want to encourage somebody, think about picking something up for a kid, whether it be one of these items that I've mentioned or something else. And we'll put it in the bags and we'll give it to them so that when Christmas is over and they've gotten all these toys and all the excitement's done, they'll have something going into the new year that they can bless the children with when they need it. You don't have to give these items because you can pray for these kids. You can encourage people that you meet. And those are wonderful ways of encouragement. But this is just one suggestion of something that we can do to encourage one another. Brothers and sisters, we have received such a wonderful, wonderful gift in Jesus Christ. This is our season to celebrate it with everything that we have in every way that we can. John Wesley would be so happy. Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, as long ever as you can. Do it. Let us do this as we continue into the new year, to just encourage one another, to lift one another up, to pray for one another. Jesus walked amongst us. He came. He was God with us. He was Emmanuel.